Thank you, Allison, and thank you all. It's a great privilege to represent the U.S. Beef Breeds Council to share with you some thoughts regarding how breeders and how breed associations might best adapt to this emerging technology. And as we go through here today, you know, I just want you to put yourself in the shoes of the breeders, because my target audience is you as the breeders, and how you can best make sense of this to help with the bottom line. The roadmap I'd like to take this morning real quickly is to talk about how we best adopt this technology. And I'm going to try to build a case, if you will, for the fact that most appropriate adaption and adoption of the technology is likely going to come from a synergistic relationship between genomics companies, breed associations, and genetic evaluation service providers. And I'd like to talk about EPDs and MBVs and how they might be brought together for traits for which EPDs are already available. I want to talk about accuracy and risk mitigation, a little bit about how this can all feed into more informative indexes, and finally talk a little bit about how it might affect trade. There's a lot of differences of opinion as to how the structure and the infrastructure of all these different entities might best fit together. For those of you that are serving on boards of directors, you'll realize that genetic evaluation has been moved away from universities, or we're in the process of moving it away from universities and into private entities. And you'll realize that the infrastructure is changing, isn't it? While for upwards to 10 or more years, we've all worked with genomics companies on parentage verification and qualitative trait analysis, we're just now beginning to get into quantitative trait diagnostics. And this is going to require a much more highly integrated relationship that will involve everything from developing legal agreements to much greater infrastructure on the IT side, as well as much greater integration of personnel to help with the education. I would also submit to you that, as Bill pointed out, genomics services are going to be provided downstream to our commercial cow-calf customers and to the feeding industry, and that's going to have ramifications for breeds. But this new infrastructure is going to require a lot of thought and a lot of thinking on all of our parts as to how it's best fit together. So let's talk a little bit about the technology. I think it's always good to review what makes up the phenotypes, and to also point out that both EPDs and MBVs have certain limitations. The limitations of EPDs are, of course, that lots of phenotype information and consequently time is required to get to high accuracy. The limitation of MBVs, as we've learned throughout the morning, is that it's difficult to develop panels of markers that cost-effectively describe enough variation. And for you producers in the audience, I wanted to give a real simple example of what an MBV really looks like. If you consider that each of these squares is a marker for a gene, some genes have bigger effect than others, and some genes have favorable or positive effects on traits, and other genes have negative or unfavorable effects on traits. And molecular breeding values are nothing more than the sum of the effect of all these traits across the, of all these markers that influence the trait. Now, the challenging part is that there's lots of other markers that indicate genes for many other things, or for additional portions of the variation in that trait, which mean that only a fraction of the total genetic variation is described by the marker panel set. And so I hope that that visually gives you a way to think about the difference between MBVs and the true breeding value that would be affected by many more genes. I use this slide because, as a previous speaker indicated, there was an article in Nature about a human genomic project that attempted to describe genetic variation in the height of people. And after a lot of effort, a relatively small portion of the height was really described. And I think it's important to emphasize that as breeds and breeders adapt to new technology, we got to realize that it is ever evolving and ever changing, and it might be trait dependent. And as time goes on, it's going to get better and better and more informative, and especially more informative if we develop these collaborations and synergies between our various entities. Next, I'd like to break down a little discussion on talk about MBVs to enhance the accuracy of existing traits. And I think you all know these acronyms because they stand for the EPDs you work with every day. And after that, I'd like to talk a little bit about MBVs for new traits that enable us to select for things that we've not previously thought possible. We've just come out of a spring bull sale season. And imagine with me, if you will, the notion that you're selling bulls with appreciably higher accuracy across existing traits. Currently, bulls are discounted for the risk associated with the possible change that's attached to their EPD because of lack of information. And what if we could mitigate this risk by virtue of genomics-enhanced EPDs? I put this out as an example. Most yearling bulls would sell with an accuracy of around 0.2 or so associated with their non-parent EPD, assuming birth weight information goes into their prediction. But how much would that bull be discounted if we could move his calving ease accuracy to, say, the 0.4 or 0.5 level and give a lot of assurance that he is indeed a heifer bull? I would submit to you that he might be worth appreciably more. Furthermore, if you could take a trait like milk, which we learned might be affected by lots and lots of genes with very small effects, but nonetheless take a maternal trait and move the accuracy from 0.1 or 0.2 all the way to 0.5, you essentially remove half of the possible change associated with the accuracy that the non-parent would have. And so the thing I would submit to you is that for the bulls that end up being genetically superior through genomic enhanced EPDs and higher accuracy and lower possible change, they should theoretically be worth a great deal more value. Now, the interesting thing that I think will play out in the marketplace, assuming that we integrate all the information that MBVs provides us from the different genomics companies into the EPDs in our genetic evaluation, is that we will have a common currency, or we'll have the information in a context that you as breeders can use to make decisions. So if genomics company one enhances, say, a stayability EPD from 0.1 to 0.3 versus genomics company two that enhances an EPD through the incorporation of MBV information up to 0.6, it's all a matter of what the investment you make returns you in increased accuracy as to the value proposition of purchasing that test. And so I believe that relative to breed associations and breeders, if we do integrate MBVs into EPDs or genomic enhanced EPDs effectively, we'll adapt in a pretty seamless way because it's the currency and the numbers that we all are used to looking at. I wanted to stop here just for a second and talk a little bit about understanding accuracy and reliability of EPDs versus MBVs from a real producer application standpoint. EPDs have error due to lack of sufficient progeny data. MBVs have error associated with omission due to the fact that the proportion of the genetic variation of a trait is not fully explained by the panel of markers. So as breeders, as you look at this technology and as it emerges and you evaluate traits, I think it's good to keep in mind the sources of the shortcomings of each tool. Relative to breed and breeder adaptation, if you look at this chart and you consider each of those grid lines as a potential trait, already we have upwards to 20 or more traits that we need to digest when making our selection decisions. If we in the event we do not integrate this into existing performance programs, we have the risk of upwards to 20 EPDs for 20 or more different traits and accuracies associated with EPDs for those traits. Furthermore, as we go to multi-breed EPDs already, Most given Angus AI sires have upwards to 4 or 5 different EPDs, depending on whether they're in the breed associations of Angus, Simmental, Geltvee, or other multi-breed evaluations. So we have a lot of potential ambiguity in the genetic information that's available for those sires. Now, if you also add on top of that that MBVs for existing traits are not incorporated into EPDs, you even add greater complexity and the potential for ambiguity when you make your selection decisions. And so I think relative to adaptation, the more we can integrate those into existing performance programs, the simpler it will be. And if we can have one number that represents maximum accuracy, it will make the decision-making process the easiest. I like this quote by Tom Peters that I stumbled onto recently. Peters says that the next 5 years are going to be an economic roller coaster. That means that business leaders, and I would say breeders, are going to be challenged repeatedly not to just make fact-based decisions, but to also make some sense out of all the conflicting and hard-to-detect signals that come through the fog and noise. Leaders are the ones who can handle gobs and gobs of ambiguity. There's going to be gobs and gobs of ambiguity as we go through generation after generation of better and better MBVs from different companies, and as we go through the evolution of incorporating MBVs into our genetic evaluation system. What I would submit to you is, if you can get used to the ambiguity, and if you as breed leaders and board members can help to consolidate and integrate this information, we can hopefully largely reduce or mitigate that ambiguity and give tools to members that help them most easily make the best decisions. Let's talk a little bit about MBVs for enabled ERTs. Now, while I think breeds and breeders will adapt rather easily to MBVs for traits for which EPDs are available, if incorporated, I think the adaptation to MBVs for new traits is going to be a little more challenging. As Dorian shared with you earlier this morning, the pipeline is full of all kinds of new and exciting genomic predictions in the form of MBVs for additional traits that span the range from feed utilization to animal health and the healthfulness of beef to adaptability as well as cow production and fertility traits. And the NBCEC is doing tremendous work on behalf of the industry to enable these whole new selection tools. Now, I'm going to talk about this in the context of something that you as breeders are very used to looking at. I think that the most known index in the industry is probably the dollar beef index. And even if you're not an Angus breeder, Simmental and Limousin and Geltvee have dollar beef-oriented indexes that basically rank animals according to their combined genetic merit for growth and carcass yield grade as well as quality grade. Now, currently, if you look at just the white letters on this particular slide, dollar beef is determined by growth traits as well as carcass traits. I think breeder and breed adaptation to MBVs for new traits will be far easier if we're able to incorporate them not only into the EPDs, but incorporate them into all of our index work. And imagine how much more informative and accurate dollar beef index selection decisions might be if these EPDs all have enhanced accuracy and if we're more comprehensively describing all those economically relevant traits that we know impact the dollar index prediction. So I think breeder adaptation would be far easier and more streamlined if the data is coming into performance programs such that it can be integrated into indexes. So for breeders, you need to understand and I think be a constant student of the efficacy of MBVs. We need them as the technology evolves to all work very hard to better understand the value proposition attached with each MBV And we also need to understand the threshold nature of some MBVs, whereby an MBV above a certain level may provide a diminishing economic return from selection. Finally, I think it's important, and we've already acknowledged this morning that the technology will be used in the feedlot sector. I think it will also be used to match genetics more definitively to target markets, which is good for consumers and it's good for the whole industry. I think at the cow-calf level, there's some very interesting things to contemplate. And think with me, if you will, about this cow-calf pair in the picture. She can be a seed stock cow or she can be a commercial cow. But in the world of genomics, we could theoretically have seed stock cows with accuracies that far exceed that of a lifetime of production on the cow, which should make for a lifetime of better mating decisions as we attempt to produce bulls from that cow to serve our customers. Or consider, if you will, a very aggressive, advanced commercial producer that knows a whole lot more about the genetic merit of their commercial cows. They might be able to do a much better job of making bull buying decisions as well as decisions on feeding and marketing their cattle. And it opens up a whole new world of opportunity for us to better manage our genetic resources. I want to talk a little bit about price as we wrap things up. Currently, I empathize with seed stock producers. At the breed association level, we know that you have to spend a lot of money on things from cow enrollments to registrations to certificates to ultrasound scanning. And that's going to be upwards to $50 for many of you per head. Traditional testing for parentage verification of simple recessives adds probably upwards to another $30 to $50 or more dollars, depending on the extent of testing. And so as you contemplate the additional expense of genomic tests, you could be upwards to $150 to $200 or more dollars quite easily on just the information, on just for the information you're gathering on your seed stock. So I think as breeds and breeders adapt to this new technology, we're going to have to be very mindful about ways we can form our policies and ways we can form our agreements so as to drive some of the costs out of recording for you as breeders, such that more capital is freed up to invest in tests that provide enhanced accuracy for existing traits, as well as much more thorough evaluation for new traits that describe significant variation in economic relevant traits. So, Allison, I think genomics gold is that it helps us reduce risk for existing EPD traits, as well as make for more comprehensive evaluation on traits we don't know much about. And it also helps us, I believe, to reduce the time and the cost associated with bad decisions. Given the long generation interval, if we can make better decisions on our young animals, we can save time in correcting those mistakes. I want to thank the members of the U.S. Beef Breeds Council who helped review the paper that's in your proceedings. I think we're all, without exception, incredibly excited about being able to be a part of integration of this new genomics technology into our performance programs such that we can better serve our industry. We want to be part of this integrative effort to add to the prosperity of breeders, and we want to make sure we do everything we can to appropriately adapt to the technology. Allison, thank you.